I encourage you to open your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Today we're going to have Bob Allums preach for us. And part of why we asked Bob to come here is our vision at South Charlotte is really to develop as a church, not just a church that prays, but a praying church. And there is a distinct difference between those two. And prayer, when it's a struggle to do that individually, even as a group, we find that once in a while it's helpful to have some good teaching, gospel teaching, and coaching on just the practical ways to do that. And Bob's going to provide a little bit of that for us today, as you'll see. So thank you, Bob, for being here. And now let's go to the Word, John chapter 15, starting in verse 7, and we'll go through verse 17. Jesus has been teaching in the upper room. This is the last night before his death. He is telling them really crucial stuff about what it means to follow him and to live with and for him. Listen what he says here in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you. And let me just say, I've had such a great time with you this weekend. Those of you that were able to come, I sure had a great time. I bet you could tell. And those of you that couldn't come, but maybe you're interested in what A Praying Life is all about, there is a book you can read and a discussion guide. There are ways you can plug into this. But let me warn you, A Praying Life is only for those of us who are really bad at praying. If you're great at it, if life is just going oh so well, you know, you've got the perfect body mass index, you never struggle with, you know, depression or sadness, your children are always sweet and submissive, if success follows you, you probably don't need this. It's only for those of us who are in the trenches of battle, just trying to get through life, learning how to pray. Amen? So, any takers? I know you are. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the glory of your name. We live for the glory of your Son. Would you send your Spirit as we look at your word? Would you just give us fresh ideas on how to glorify Jesus? Oh, Father, would you encourage us by your Spirit? Would you remind us of things we have forgotten? Lord, we live for your pleasure. It's our drumbeat. It's our heart. It's all we care about, that the Lord Jesus be glorified. So, Father, thank you for your word as we look at it. In Jesus' name, amen. So those of you who are at the conference, can I just give you a quick review But then since we have some more here today who were not able to join us, could I just set this up for you? Because this is John 14, 15, and 16, which is the final discourse of the Lord Jesus. And so think of it this way. It's him giving them his final briefing before he goes to die. Okay? So does that tell you something? Okay, whatever happens, guys, don't forget this. Because I'm not going to be here to tell you. Okay, take good notes. Jot this down, guys. And what he tells them is this. He says, I'm going to go away, but you're going to be okay. And let me tell you why. You're going to be okay because the Spirit is going to come. And while I'm back at the right hand of the Father, and by the way, preparing a place for you, the Spirit is going to come and he's going to get you ready for the place I'm building. Does that make sense? Right? It's not that hard. And he said, the one thing I'm going to leave with you guys is you are going to have a direct line to me and my Father between now and when you occupy this new place. Guys, if you're smart, you will use this line all the time. Okay? I'm giving you direct access. Anytime you call, we listen. Anything you ask, we take seriously. When you come in, we lean in. We mean it. And guys, don't try to do the rest of your life alone. You are never intended to do the rest of your life alone. Isn't that simple? I really could sit down. That's the message of Jesus in the farewell discourse. However, as a way of quick review, what we took a look at on Friday night was prayer is still hard, though. It's awkward. I feel like I'm not doing it right if I do it at all. And so when I go to pray, I just feel kind of, I just feel kind of dirty. You know what I'm talking about? By the way, this is and this is because I can't see your faces, you know? But you go, oh, guilt, there's shame, there's, oh, golly, I should be better at this, and I'm not. And one of the fun things we discovered on Friday night is that that's normal. Everybody feels badly about this. Amen? So if you struggle with prayer, you're right where you should be. There's nothing wrong with you that isn't also wrong with everybody else. Amen? But then we looked at this. The secret, the key, is learning how to be a child of your Father. It's all about the father-son, father-daughter relationship. Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it's not employee-boss? Or player coach, or, you know, I just love it that he gives us that word picture. Well, one of the fun things that we talked about is highlighted in this. I'm going to get to my house tonight. Oh, I'll probably walk in somewhere around 10 o'clock tonight. And my wife, Helen, of 41 years, almost 42 years, is working a long hospice shift today. So she's with the sick and the dying. And she's going to walk in about 10 o'clock. And I can tell you what she's going to ask me. You ready? She's not going to ask, where were you again, honey? I was in Charlotte. How did the seminar go? Those are neat things on her heart. She's going to ask, hey, sweetie, did you hear from any of the kids today? And I don't know what I'm going to be able to tell her because I haven't heard yet. You know, still Sunday morning. But if I did, she's going to want nothing else in the universe is important. Amen? That joy that you and I have, even with our grown children, those of us who have grown children, that joy you have, you didn't make that up. You didn't invent that. That was given to you at creation by your Father. And it was given to you to reveal to you something very important about his heart. Amen? Listen, folks, when you call upon him, he knows you by name. And he's for you. In fact, it delights him. Isn't that neat? You I mean, you can't help but laugh with this. It's such joy. And so prayer is hard for everybody. Yes, it's all about learning how to be a child of your Father and understanding the Father's delight in you as his child. But then also when you pray, I'm still in review, everybody. Is that okay? Don't worry. I am watching the time. Okay. It's when you begin to pray about someone or something, you enter a story between you, your Father, and the person you're praying for or the matter that you're praying about. And what you want to get good at in the Christian life, everybody, is learning how to be sensitive to that story, watching the story develop, taking good notes, beginning to piece things together as prayer stories connect to prayer stories, right? Amen? And you begin to feel this sense of adventure in the Christian life. And everybody, I got to tell you, this is where the Christian life gets fun again. Don't be surprised if people think you're odd because the whole darn world is falling apart and you're over here laughing. You've got a joy made full, a joy unspeakable, full of glory. And why? Because you're doing life the way you were intended to do it, in constant dependence, in constant oneness, being constant in prayer. Amen? And so we spent the whole weekend just talking about different prayer stories, how to track them, how to get good at, you know, just how to be deliberate with them, how to be specific with them. So anyway, all of that is in the book if you missed the seminar. Now, why does Jesus, at the final briefing of the disciples, sit on one word? Do you know what that word is? It's the word ask. Hey, guys, I'm going to be leaving you, going to the cross to die. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm going back to enjoy what my dad and I had before I came. You're going to be okay. I'm going to send the Spirit. But guys, get this. The one word you cannot afford to forget is the word ask. Ask of me. Ask in my name. Ask big. Ask without sense of limit. Go ahead and ask. Now, here's what's really fun about this. You know how many times Jesus says, ask of me in the farewell discourse? Anybody want to take a guess? I'll just go ahead and tell you the answer. 6 times. And some translations, 7. But 6 times he says, guys, ask of me. Ask in my name. Abide in me and my word abide in you. Ask whatever you will. Ask. So, note to self, next Sunday, when Pastor Dean says the theme of the message 6 times in one sermon, what's he a little nervous of regarding the first 5? Right? Isn't he a little nervous you're not going to get it the first 5 times? Well, that's where Jesus is. Guys, I want you to know. Oh, by the way, what does that tell you is going to be your propensity and your temptation if you're a disciple? Doesn't that say your temptation is going to be you're going to forget? Or at least you're just going to kind of drop out of a prayer life in your Christian life? That's why he sits on it. We like to put it this way. I can't draw on the screen today, but asking is like a good road or a good aisle. See this main aisle in the sanctuary here? And let's act like you want to walk down this aisle, but there are 2 ditches where you can get stuck. What are those 2 ditches? One is the ditch of wrong asking. So if the aisle is good asking, healthy asking, what he's talking about here, and you can get stuck in wrong asking. And what I mean by that is James in chapter 4 says, asking according to your narcissism. Asking according to your lust, your cravings for self-glory, your desires for just the worship of yourself. That will get you stuck. Amen? Right? Right? That'll get you. The Spirit has some work to do if that's where you find yourself. And the Spirit will just come and he won't condemn you. He'll just say, you know, Bob, you really should get over yourself. So James chapter 4 is the one place that deals with that ditch, that propensity to get stuck in wrong asking. However, there's another ditch on the other side of the road where we can get just as stuck. Anybody have a guess what that ditch is? Yeah, not asking at all. And so if there's one passage of Scripture that deals with narcissistic asking and six commands in one discourse that deals with ask of me, ask in my name, which one do you think we have the more propensity to get stuck in? Let me ask you something. When was the last time you asked something of your Father? For a lot of us, it's been a long time. Or we have the temptation to just ask so generally. Our prayers almost become kind of floaty. You know, it's kind of cloudy. You know, and you just kind of, ooh. You know, you have no idea if God's doing anything or not because you didn't ask anything big or specific. Amen? Does that make sense? And Jesus is saying, no, I really mean it. It's one of the key ways that you're going to stay connected to me. I am the vine. You are the branches. And what I'm telling you guys, don't try to do the rest of your life alone. You've got to stay vitally connected to me, where the word is feeding your heart and your heart is going back in prayer. Stay connected to me. You'll never make it alone. The secret here to abiding in him is a constant oneness, a constant dependence on him. And it's exactly how Jesus lived his life, right? I mean, Jesus was the most dependent person who ever lived. He had no category of mind for doing life apart from his Father. Oh, gosh, those of you who are in the seminar, can I pull one thing in? I'll have to repeat it. Is that all right? Yeah, cool. Oh, thank you. If you were to see Jesus walking down the one of the main areas of Ballantyne on a Saturday morning, and you were on your way to go get, let's say you're on your way to a diner to eat breakfast. Do you ever do that? Do you ever just go get a big breakfast? You know, you want to get your cholesterol up. You ever do that around here? We do it every. You can tell I do it from time to time. If you were to see Jesus walking down the street and you said, "Good morning, Jesus, how are you today?" He would probably say something along the lines of, "My dad and I are great." And if you said, "Now, Jesus, this codependency thing, how are you? I'm not asking about your father." He would look at you with a blank look. Jesus had no concept of mind of doing life apart from his dad. In fact, in John 5:19, he says, "I only do what I see my father doing." That makes sense? So if you went into that diner and you sat in a booth and it's not like you were trying to eavesdrop on the table behind you, but you couldn't help but overhear them, and one grown man said to another, "You know, I only do what my dad tells me." What would go on in your mind, and be honest? Wouldn't you kind of go, "Ooh, that's odd. Those are grown men. Dude, you got to get a life. You know, you got to grow up." And yet, that kind of oneness and dependence is exactly how Jesus lived. And what Jesus goes on to say in John 17, you know, where he's praying the high priestly prayer, have you noticed? He said, Father, this is Bob Allum's paraphrase. I'm so excited to be coming back to you. I can't wait to have what we had before I came. And I'm so excited I'm going to be bringing these guys with me. And then all who come after these guys, which is you and me. This is going to be great. And so he's really, the reason Jesus came and gave you this privilege is because he was out to please his dad. It was the Father who wanted you and me in the family. Amen? And Jesus, he loves us, yes, but he loves his dad. And so he came to bring us with him. Now, what does all that have to do with prayer? It's this, that oneness that Jesus had with the Father, you and I now have the propensity for. We have the possibility for. Guys, I want you asking. I want you asking in my name. I want you asking without sense of limit. Go big. Go bold. And then, as part of the prayer story, give me space. So when you enter a prayer story, it's very important you get your ask in front of him, and then you watch, you wait, you let the Spirit move, you pay attention to what the Spirit is doing. Does that sound kind of cool? Isn't that interesting? Like, whoa, I didn't know that. This is cool. And so doing all of life through prayer stories, what we're talking about is doing marriage through prayer stories, doing child rearing through prayer stories, grandchildren relationships through prayer stories, doing projects at work through prayer stories, doing endoscopic neurosurgery through prayer stories, you know, doing everything and anything through prayer stories by asking and asking in his name. Now, where does all this go? Oh, golly, I'm running out of time. Oh, gosh. I just hate that. But you know, the Word of God is good. It's so dead, I will watch the clock. I need to move on to the second point at some point. Father, we just thank you for the time we have to look at your Word. And we just pray for the flow of your Spirit. We can't wait to see what you do with the rest of this sermon time. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me ask you this. What happens if you go, hey, Bob, I'm all in, buddy. I love the thought of doing life in dependence upon the Father. I love this great privilege that I can call him and interrupt him at any time, and he will lean in and he will listen to me. In fact, he'll delight in it. I love it that he has even said, ask of me, ask big, ask bold. Come on, let's get going, you and me. But what if I enter a prayer story and I don't know the will of the Father in that prayer story, right? Okay, does that make sense? Do you know the will of God in every prayer story you enter? My guess is you would say, no, I don't. Because if you did, you would be God and he would be a genie in a bottle, right? What do you do if you're entering into a prayer story, you're asking something relating to a relationship or a project or a challenge or a temptation, and you don't know what is the Father's will in this? Jesus said, go ahead, ask anyway, and don't worry, I won't let you crash the plane. So the way you abide in me is ask. Watch, wait, let me work on the story, let me work on the people in the story, let me work on you, your heart, your sin patterns, your obedience, amen? And we will do this together. Take my yoke upon you. We will do your life together. But guys, you have to ask. You just have to be dogged about asking. Now, just in case we didn't get the point, Jesus brings up two parables related to this. And, you know, parables are like children's sermons. Remember those? Do you guys ever do children's sermons? Occasionally, right? Yeah. And children's sermons are fun because everybody leans in. They think they're cute, you know. And then we also often get a lot out of them. Because children's sermons are really like sermon illustrations. And so parables are like that. And Jesus sets up the parable this way. He says, okay, you are, it's getting late at night and there's a knock on your door. And it turns out to be a traveler who just presents himself at your door. And custom says you have to let them in, you have to see to them, you have to feed them, give them a place to sleep, take them in. But you don't have any of the good groceries. You're low on the good groceries. Go next door and wake them up. Bang on the door. And keep banging until somebody comes to the door. In fact, if they come to the door because it's the middle of the night and they're kind of irritated at you, don't let that stop you. Keep banging. In fact, why don't you just yell up at the upper story window? It's the parable of the neighbor at midnight. You know it? Everybody, you're kind of familiar with it? Yeah. In other words, what Jesus is saying is when you come ask, you're going to think you're being rude. You're not. You're now beginning to take it seriously. Amen? So ask of me, ask in my name. Oh, you know what I love about the neighbor at midnight? How many loaves of bread does he ask for? Anybody remember? It's actually three. It's like asking for three meals instead of... I mean, how many loaves of bread can one man eat? But I love how he asks big, because right, if I had you over, if you came over to my house and I put a loaf of bread in front of you to serve you, would you be reluctant to eat it? You probably would, because I know you. You're very polite, very kind people. And you would go, Bob, I can't eat that loaf of bread. That's for you and your family. But if I said, no, here, this one's for you, and I've got another one for me, you might be inclined to eat the bread. Might. But probably knowing you, you would go, nah, I still can't do that. That's eating half your food. But if I've got three loaves of bread and I put one in front of you, you have no problem eating the bread, right? Ask big. Ask in my name. Ask without sense of limit. Watch what I do. Be open to me. And you will eventually see the will of the Father in the prayer story. So be open to it. Watch for it. Amen? I hate this. This is going to be a one-point sermon. Is that all right? Because I've got 4 minutes, 51 seconds left. Hey, can I just give you one example of a friend of mine who's a church planter in Cleveland, Ohio. And he started praying for a man and his family in a trailer kind of near their church plant. And he just started praying that he would meet the guy and become friends with him, that he would invite him to church, he would come to church, he would love the fellowship, he would become gloriously converted. You know, my friend is asking, he's doing John 15, I love it. He's asking in Jesus' name, he's getting specific, you know. And so after praying all this, eventually he just goes over and he meets the guy. My friend is named James, the church planter. And was he in our cohort? Does this, Dean, do you remember this? Yeah, Josh, okay. Yeah, and James goes over and just starts talking to the guy, and they get to be friends, and James says, hey, can I do anything for you? How can I love you? How can I serve you? And the guy said, you wouldn't happen to have an air conditioner, would you? My air conditioning is out, and this trailer gets hot, even in Cleveland, Ohio. And James goes, no, I don't, but I'll be glad to ask my father for an air conditioner. My father owns all the air conditioners on earth. And I'll ask him in the name of the Lord Jesus to give you an air conditioner. And if he gives me one, I'll know who it's for. And so he, this church planter, pastor guy, he's weird, but okay, you know. So he begins to pray, and as he prays, he begins to pray more, and as he prays more, he thinks about this guy more deeply. He begins to pray for his soul, for the cultivation of his heart. You know, it's just amazing how the Spirit gets you deeper even when you're just praying for an air conditioner. And then my friend James went back to his desk and he looked on Craigslist, and there he found a window unit air conditioner, but it was $30. And one of the things he had asked the Father for was, Lord, could the air conditioner be free? Because I'm a poor church planter, you know. We just don't have a lot of money. Could we have an air conditioner for our friend, and could it be free? And he saw it on Craigslist, and it was $30, and he goes, okay, what do I do? So he reaches out to the Craigslist guy and says, I'm sorry, it was just sold. Okay, that's all part of the story the Father is weaving. And so he calls the guy, and James calls the guy and tells him the story, but hey, I'm still praying, we're still watching, we're still waiting. Let's see what God does. And what really gets to be fun is the guy called him a little later on that afternoon. Pastor James, you're not going to believe what happened. Go ahead, tell me. I was driving through a neighborhood, and out on the curb, somebody put a window unit air conditioner with a sign on it that said, free to a good home. Can you come help me put it in? James goes, I'm on my way. Does this sound silly? But doesn't it also sound glorious? And James goes over, he helps him get it up into the window, and they secure it, and they turn it on, and out comes this cold air. And let me tell you, the guy was at church that Sunday. That's one little bitty illustration. Jesus says, keep knocking, knock, knock, bang, yell up. Don't let your heart die. Don't go to sleep at the wheel in this. Take me seriously in this. I am giving you enormous access to the power of God through prayer. And the key in that praying is going to be asking, and asking big. But you got to ask in my name, with my authority. You got to ask with a sense of abiding in me. You got to be open to what I do in you. I will lead you in obedience. I will help you with repentance. I will give you great ideas in loving. You and I will do your life together. Amen. Three, two. Yeah, I know. I get excited. I promise I really am Presbyterian. But I'll tell you, God is good. I know of a PCA church right now where they've decided that they're just exactly what Dean and Josh are doing. We don't want to be a church that prays token prayers here and there. We want to be a praying church because we want the Spirit to be at the very core of who we are and what we do. We want to be constantly seeing these prayer stories pop and flow. And so you know what they're doing? This is neat. They're praying for 100 glorious conversions in their community within, I forget how many years, but they're praying for conversions. And they've got the whole church body praying for conversions. And so people are beginning to look for new friendships out there. The whole church is becoming an outreach church. And he told me this past week, he said, Bob, this is changing everything. It's just so, it's so much more fun to be a praying church than just a really neat big church. Amen? Oh, golly. It's 11:08. Dean, can I have one more minute? Just one more fun story. Can I just share one more prayer story? I've already botched this whole sermon. I've only touched on one of 4 points. Oh, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I got another one for you. And that is a friend of mine who's pastoring a church in Virginia. He also had this heart to become a praying church. And so what they did was they plugged into this software. The Southern Baptists use it. What is it? Every church a blessing? Every home a blessing? I don't know. It's some kind of software that will give you the name of the family and addresses and your zip code. Does that make sense? And so they just got a couple of zip codes around their church plant. And what they did was then they made these prayer cards, and they began to pray for every family in these zip codes. And the way the my pastor friend did it is he handed out X amount of, what's your name?
Millie.
So Millie, would you take these six prayer cards and just start praying for these six families? And what's your name?
Grace.
And Grace, would you take these six? You know, and he just went through the whole congregation. Now, let me tell you what God did. So my friend, pastor, church planter, he calls me up and he goes, Bob, are you sitting down? No, but I can. Let me tell you what God did. He said, it was great. My gym closed down. Okay, keep going. And because my gym closed down, I got membership rights to another gym way over here, you know, in this neighborhood. And so I started to go work out at this other gym while they remodeled or whatever, repaired the current gym. And I was in there on the treadmill, and I just befriended a guy. And eventually, after a conversation, we got off the treadmill, and we were kind of towards the foyer, and we were leaving. And he said, by the way, I'm Pastor so-and-so. I'm a church planter here. And the guy goes, really? Really? I've seen you guys. I've thought about coming to your church. And he said, I'm John Smith, whatever his name was, I forgot. And my friend goes, John Smith, do you live over on Johnston Road? Yeah, how'd you know? I said, well, you know, I'll never tell you because it's on a prayer card. That neat? He started praying for a guy he never knew. To meet him, befriend him, and welcome him to the church, pray for his conversion, and he runs into him and begins his conversation unbeknownst. I'm telling you, I could just go on. I got hundreds of these stories, and it really gets to be fun. So here's where I just need to wrap all this up. The key word is this. You were never intended to live your life alone, okay? You were given the privilege of living your life the way Jesus lives his life in oneness and dependence on the Father. But the one thing you've got to take seriously is taking full advantage of this great privilege he has given you, which is ask. Ask in my name. Ask whatever you will. Ask according, you know, abide in me. My word abides in you. I will lead you in obedience, he says later in the passage. I will lead you in fruit bearing. We will do your life together. Oh, and by the way, I'll throw in my joy. My joy I will give you. Your joy will be made full. And as I wrap this up, have you ever noticed people who pray a lot, who really take God at this, they seem to laugh a lot. There's just a joy level to them. So get ready if you do this. Joy levels go way up. Faith levels get deeper. Love gets more apparent. I think life, even as tough as it gets, will just get to be a lot more interesting and adventuresome. Oh, Father, thank you in Jesus' name for the glory of your word. Thank you. You've given us this great privilege. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we pray, would you help us ask? Would you send your Spirit to help us ask according to your will? But, Father, even if we don't know your will in a situation, could we ask anyway and just trust you'll lead us? And we will see your hand and behold your hand. Oh, Father, would you throw the joy in? Because, Father, we do not want to do these lives you've given us alone. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.